In the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Compassionate, all praises to Allah, the Creator of the universes and their Sustainer, the Provider of believers and unbelievers, and may His choicest blessings be on the seal of His prophets, the last of His messengers and His holy progeny, and in particular, may His incessant blessings ever continue to flow on the eighth successor to the holy prophet, on Abul Hasan, Imam Ali ibn Musa al-Ridha, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Before we embark on continuing our discussions on Imam Ridha alayhi salam, I've been requested to make an announcement that the Muharram special publication of Madinatul Ilm, the magazine published from Lucknow, is now available for sale, and that it contains useful articles on Muharram. Mu'mineen are requested to purchase them. Yesterday we paused at the historical moment when Mamun Lanatullah Alayh had sent his garrison to Medina to escort Imam Ridha Alayhi Salam to Maru in Iran. Well, that was a very momentous occasion for the Imam alayhi salam, which he lamented and grieved immensely. As we touched on last night, and from there then he was escorted out of Medina to firstly to Makkah, where he performed an Umrah, and then to a path which was laid out by Mamun himself in Maru. And the reason why Mamun laid out that path was that he did not wish the Imam alayhi salam to pass through areas that were populated by Shias, in areas where the Shias would be very keen to see him. And Mamun wanted to ensure that the Imam alayhi salam did not accumulate a lot of public support and perhaps a public escort as he moved to Maru and got there basically on his own. But on the way, as he proceeded, and wherever he proceeded, numerous miracles took place. These miracles are well recorded in our books and in some books of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and are found freely. Owing to restraint on time, I do not wish to deal with them. We have considered extraordinary events that were seen from the Imam alayhi salam in various forms, be they in educating the people, in helping the people, in teaching them various matters, for example regarding the coffin and its attendance to it, etc. We've considered those on both Sunday night and Monday night, more extensively on the extraordinary events of Monday night. So I propose not to spend your time again on those various miracles that took place on the way. I say this only because when you proceed to the ziyarah of Imam Ridha alayhi salam, and may Allah so will that we all reach the ziyarah of Imam Ridha alayhi salam in Mashhad as soon as possible, we are often taken by the tour agents to various places that show us various miracles that took place. For example, the stream in Nishapur, and the tree, particularly in Nishapur. The miracle that the Imam alayhi salam performed in the bathhouse in Nishapur is well recorded, both by Sheikh Sadduq alayhi rahma and Sheikh Mufid alayhi rahma. Very well known miracle. Indeed, the water in that bath is still flowing, and that bath is also visited by Zairin when they visit Nishapur as continuing evidence of the miracle of Imam Ridha alayhi salam. Tree planted by him in Nishapur is also shown as a continuous evidence of his another miracle, and various other miracles have been performed by him in various towns as they moved on, and all those have been well preserved by the Iranians. However, that stage arrived when the Imam alayhi salam reached Maru. My main purpose is to discuss the political aspects of the situation at that particular time, having special regard to the question of the appointment of Imam Rida alayhi salam, and why did he accept it? At first sight, it is odd that the Imam alayhi salam should accept that appointment from a hakim as though, an oppressor of the time. And he didn't accept that appointment. It was forced onto him, and that is what I wish to propose. I propose to labor on this evening and establish that point before we finish. Well, when he got to Maru, the first thing that Mamun did, tactically, was to call his cabinet. He sat with his cabinet, and in particular the chief minister, Fadl bin Sahal, and asked Fadl bin Sahal to call the chancellor, that was his brother, Hassan bin Sahal, and the generals of the army were also present. Well, in reality, talking of the generals of the army, the ultimate control of the army was also in the hands of Fadl bin Sahal. He had two portfolios. As the chief minister, he was in charge of the entire civil administration, and he was also the head of the army. So a general under whom the army was vested. So he called them all and informed them that he wanted to pass the Khilafah to Imam Rida alayhi salam. There was instant violent opposition. The agenda had leaked out. And Fadl bin Sahal mentioned to other cabinet ministers also of the intention of Mamun. And so they were all unanimous in opposing that proposal very violently, saying to Mamun that that would be unthinkable. What did all his predecessors do? Why were the Umayyads overthrown? If the Khilafah is now to pass back to Banu Hashim, the Umayyads were overthrown by the Abbasides so that they obtained power. Remember, they always claimed that they were overthrowing the Umayyads to restore power to the Ahlul Bayt of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. Here now are candid confessions that that was not the course of the Abbasides. Their true intention was that power be vested and continue to remain with them. And they said that if this authority slips out of our hands and gets into the hands of a Rida alayhi salam, he will have immense public support. Security intelligence at that point in time was that the Imam alayhi salam had the highest of popularity, as we discussed last night. And the revolutions that took place all over the country to support the cause of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Mamun, however, having heard them all, and they did not realize what Mamun had in mind. Mamun could not spell out what he had in mind. He had to keep it all to himself. But last night, I did give you overtures of what exactly was the policy of Mamun. Allay the Shias and keep them calm and in peace by telling them that Rida alayhi salam now will be the Khalif. Not during the lifetime of Mamun, but he will succeed Mamun, la'natullah alayh. And then dispose of Imam Rida alayhi salam, poison him, get him out of the way, so that Mamun continues, and after him, his own children take over, as we discussed yesterday. Amin and Mamun, and Mamun's children then take over after Mamun. Indeed, they did. Mutawakkil, Mutawakkil and Mu'tasim and Mu'tasir. We'll discuss more of them, inshallah, next year, if Allah so wills. Well, he could not spell that out in the meeting, and those ministers could not see it. He said to them that he had made a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine a person speaking like that, that which he knew to be untrue, and speaking in the name of Allah, that which was untrue? He said, I've made a covenant with Allah that whenever the Khilafah will be in my hands, and by then the entire Commonwealth was in his hands, that when Khilafah will come in my hand, I will restore it to the most eligible candidate from the family of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And I have looked around, as I said on the first night, I have looked around from the other sides, and I have looked from amongst the descendants of Ali ibn Abi Talib salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. I do not find a person more competent and more suitable for this appointment than Ali ibn Musa Rida salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. And he then turned around to them and said, covenant I have made to Allah and I cannot resign from it. But I have not made a covenant that I will appoint him in particular. My covenant was that I will appoint him who will be the most suitable from the progeny of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. You go around and look for someone more suitable than him, and I am prepared to appoint him. I have examined, and I have appointed people to examine who from amongst the other sides, from amongst those who were the descendants of Abdullah bin Abbas, to see if anybody from there, from them is eligible, or anybody else from the progeny of Ali ibn Abi Talib. Indeed, the descendants of Abu Talib, if any from their family, are eligible, more eligible than the candidates I have chosen. But if, apart from these two families, you find someone else more eligible, give me his name also. My covenant is to appoint someone from the progeny of the Holy Prophet, but I can give kafara and appoint someone else too, in the belief that Allah will forgive me, that I will have appointed someone more competent than the one from the progeny of the Holy Prophet. And he said this knowing that there could not have been any other candidate. There in fact was no other candidate. And they all said, insofar as that part of your conversation goes, we, even if you give us a year to look for another person, do not see that we can come out with any name of a person more suitable, more competent than Imam Rabah alayhi salam. And hence, insofar as his appointment and nomination is concerned, we have no objection on that. Our objection is that he should be appointed at all. We say, you continue and after you, your son Mu'tasim should take over from you. He said, insofar as that was concerned, his hands were tied because of the covenant, and therefore he was requesting them to accept that decision of his. At the end of the day, they knew that it was a manipulation and a maneuver, because in that very meeting which they attended to oppose Ma'mun, they reached agreement with him, and there was concurrence, unanimity in the decision that the Khilafah should pass to Imam Rida alayhi salam. So Sahal, Fadl bin Sahal, and his brother Hasan bin Sahal visited the Imam alayhi salam and expressed the desire of Ma'mun, and the Imam alayhi salam instantly rejected the proposal, saying, I know that the precondition of my appointment to the Khilafah will be that when I die, my successor should be the son of Ma'mun. I know that is Ma'mun's intention. Indeed, do you remember yesterday my saying that he declared that at the graveside of the Holy Prophet, exposing the plot that Ma'mun was hatching. And he said clearly that if I was to take over the Khilafah, in no way can I pass the succession to the son of Ma'mun. Succession will only go to him whom the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has nominated in his lifetime to be his ninth successor. Succession to Khilafah is not in the hands of human beings, as Ma'mun thinks and as those who preceded him would think. The Hujjatullah is only he who is appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fadl bin Sahal said, we do not wish to get into this. Ma'mun has not informed us that that is his intention or that that will be the condition. But we can tell you that if you do not accept that appointment, then Ma'mun will well consider you to have so violently dishonored him that you may be liable to instant execution. So you can see the threat of execution is made to the Imam in a quiet, in clandestine manner, even before the Imam alayhi salam is called by Ma'mun. However, Ma'mun then decides to have a meeting with the Imam alayhi salam. When such a threat was made, the Imam alayhi salam said, well, if such threats are being made to me, then you will render me helpless. So they took that as a consent and informed Mahmud that we have obtained the consent of our Ridha alayhi salam. When the Imam alayhi salam was called by Mahmud now for a formal session, and Mahmud offered the Khilafah to him, the answer of the Imam alayhi salam was absolutely fantastic. Interesting for the youth to consider the gravity of the matter that the Imam alayhi salam put forward to him. He says, "Oh Mahmud, I do not understand the basis on which you are offering this Khilafah to me. It is either one of the two situations. Either you are a legitimate Khalif, or you are not a legitimate Khalif. If you are a legitimate Khalif appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in any other matter, by any other means which you consider as legitimate, how can you pass that legitimacy to me? If you are appointed by Allah, your duty is to continue serving Allah to your last breath, and you then have no right to pass it to me, you will pass it to him whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you to pass. So on what basis are you passing it to me? O Mahmud, know this, that when the Holy Prophet appointed my grandfather, Ali the First, Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, he did so only on the command of Allah. And this was proved at Ghadir beyond question. After Ghadir, when the Holy Prophet came to Medina, you remember, and the question was asked by that Arabi, and the Holy Prophet said, "By him in whose hands lies my soul, the appointment I made of Imam Ali alayhi salam was entirely at his command." Do you remember that Arab who turned around to him and said, "Ya Muhammad, you told us that we should destroy our idols, we did. You told us only to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we started doing so. You then told us we should recite Salah and we did. You told us to keep Salah and we did. You told us to go to Hajj and we have. You told us to pay Zakat and we do that. Now you are imposing your son-in-law." In answer to that, the Holy Prophet said, "By him in whose hand is my soul, I did so only at the command of Allah." The Arab turns around and says, "Ya Allah, if what Muhammad is saying is true, let a stone now drop and kill me dead." And that's exactly what instantly happened. Sa'ala sa'ilun li'adhab al-waqi'ah. Proof in Quran of that incident. That when that was that pleader, that supplicant asked for azab on him, on that particular event, in respect of that particular event that had occurred, immediately azab did fall on him. A single stone hit his head, came out from his backside, and he dropped there. That's the Holy Prophet acted in total sincerity and in complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the letter, was established beyond question. What I ask the Muslims of today is, do they believe their prophet to be truthful? Because the moment you start bringing doubts on the words of the Holy Prophet, that moment doubt arises on the authenticity of the Holy Book also. Because that Holy Book in our hands today is only on the words of the Holy Prophet that Jibreel did actually reveal those words which he uttered over to us. Well, Quran sings a different song. It says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Muhammad has never uttered a word out of his inner desires or out of his own whims. He has only uttered that which was revealed to him by wahy. Surah Najm says that in very express terms. Imam Ridha alayhi salam drew all that out in that meeting with Mahmud, and this is well recorded, and said, my grandfather, the Holy Prophet appointed my grandfather Ali alayhi salam only on the command of Allah, and it is only on the command of Allah that Amir al-Mu'mineen appointed Hassan, who appointed Imam Hussein alayhi salam, purely on the command of Allah. We have discussed the Jafar already, which the Holy Prophet gave to Bibi Fatima to Zahra salamullahi alayha. And he went on to say that my father, Abdul Saleh Al-Qadim alayhi salam, appointed me only on the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Imam Musa Kadim alayhi salam had taken Imam Rawa alayhi salam to the graveside of the Holy Prophet in his lifetime, which I omitted to mention on Saturday night because of the clock, and said to the Holy Prophet, saying, Ya Jaddi, O my grandfather, I have, in accordance with your command, nominated that my this son Ali will be the successor after me, on the command of the Holy Prophet himself. So he says, O Mahmud, what legitimacy then would you have? In other words, he was telling Mahmud well in advance that if a precondition of passing over the Khilafah to me will be that after me I should appoint your son, that is out of the question. If I am the Khalif, my successor will only be he whom Allah will order me to command, will command me to appoint, and I have already nominated my successor in accordance with the command of Allah. Because he did before he left Medina. I was hoping to deal with that tomorrow when we deal with the imamah of Imam Jawad alayhi salam. Well, when Mahmud heard this, he found that, of course, a difficult situation. He realized that the Imam alayhi salam had already built his wall before the flood. The question of the precondition now was almost pre-decided by the point that the Imam alayhi salam laid. But the point still stood that how can you then, this is how I claim the legitimacy, how do you claim the legitimacy of your imamah, of your khilafah? And if you are a legitimate khalif, then on what basis can you transfer that khilafah to me? But on the other hand, if you are not a legitimate khalif of this place, then Mahmud, forgive me, I would not be willing to accept khilafah from the hands of one who accepts that his own khilafah is invalid. His own khilafah is illegitimate. Indeed, title passes only if the person passing title has good title himself. But if the one passing title himself had an illegitimate title, what will he pass to the Imam alayhi salam? Mahmud had no answer to that. He said, Ar-Ridha alayhi salam, I do not want to enter into all these theological discussions with you. One thing I'm sure of, that your knowledge in these matters is so excellent that I am in no position to equal it or to be able to discuss these matters with you. What I can tell you is that I have made a covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, same story repeated, that if Khilafah will come in my hand, I will pass it to that member of the progeny of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, who would be the most entitled person to be in that seat of Khilafah. And I do not find any person other than you. And hence I offer this Khilafah to you. And the Imam Rawa alayhi salam said, Mahmud, under no circumstances can I accept Khilafah from you, because I do not regard that as a legitimate cause, and I'm not in a position to accept that. Well, that resolves a very sensitive question that we ask. And it is this: how did the Imam alayhi salam accept the appointment from Mahmud, when Mahmud in particular was an oppressor, he was a tyrant? And the short, crisp answer to that is, he did not. He refused to accept that. When he refused to accept that appointment, maybe that refusal came as a relief to Mahmud. And maybe Mahmud very well anticipated that refusal. The Imam alayhi salam went further and told him that, O Mahmud, you will not be surprised to receive that answer from me, because my grandfather Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam, he too, having been legitimately appointed, was put in a position in which he was asked to accept the appointment, and he refused, saying, I will not go and fight against the first Khalif and battle it out against the second Khalif, because it is not in the interest of the Ummah that should happen. And he was prepared to divorce the Khilafah, giving it 3 divorces. That was a reminder to Mahmud that after that, Imam Ali alayhi salam became a Khalif only on the basis that the entire Ummah unanimously went to him and said, if you do not accept the Khilafah now, we will be led astray. We will lose Siratul Mustaqim. And it was only that duty to maintain the Ummah on Siratul Mustaqim that obliged him to accept that appointment. So that was well within the bearings of Mamun. He, however, twisted the entire meeting and the course of it by saying, if you are not in a position to accept the Khilafah for the arguments you have given to me, then I will appoint you my successor. After I am gone, you become the Khalif. By then I will be gone. You will be not taking over Khilafah from me. You will be taking over on a clean slate, clean piece of paper, and you will be conducting Khilafah in your way. So you must accept to be the heir apparent. You remember from yesterday his motives in doing so. And the Imam alayhi salam said, no, I will not accept that either. My appointment comes through the Holy Prophet on command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will not accept appointment from you, and I will not accept to be an heir apparent either. And when the Imam alayhi salam said no to that, Mamun turned around and said, I am surprised you say no to that also. Your grandfather was asked to attend the Shura. Do you remember when Amr was to die, just before his death, he appointed a consultative committee of 6 people. I do not wish to take you into the details of that. We have discussed them. We have discussed those details in 1999. The full composition of that consultative committee, its agenda, and how each of its meetings, we went through those in some detail from Sunni sources, not from our sources if you remember. From Sunnite sources, in particular Tabari, we saw what happened in those meetings. Mamun reminds the 8th Imam alayhi salam and says, your grandfather attended that meeting and was prepared to be nominated in that meeting as a Khalif. But Omar had laid a condition that if anybody did not attend that meeting, he would be executed. And if anybody declined to accept the decision of that shura, he should also be executed. So Imam Bawa alayhi salam said, well, you see the circumstances in which my grandfather attended that meeting, and the circumstances in which he felt obliged to attend that meeting and participate in it. And in that meeting, he claimed his own entitlement through the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. Mamun said, I am in a position to impose the same condition on you as Omar imposed on your grandfather. In other words, you either accept this appointment I am making, that you be the heir apparent, or else you will be executed. So it is entirely on the threat of instant death that the Imam alayhi salam now became obliged to appoint him, to accept the appointment. So the Imam alayhi salam takes a turn also and says, Mamun, my advice to you is that you not take this action. And Mamun turns around to him and says, Jabna Rasulullah, can you find a person more competent than yourself whom I can appoint for this position? What do I answer Allah? What a person to talk about what he will answer Allah. But there we are. You can see how piety is masked in politics, or politics is masked in piety. He says, what will I answer Allah if I appoint a person less suitable than you when you are sitting here with me? The Imam alayhi salam says, that is not the purpose of my advice. The reason for my advice is that you are going to survive me. I am going to die before you. And Mamun says, Jabda Rasulullah, don't say such things. My wish is that I should precede you. And the Imam alayhi salam then makes it all apparent and obvious to Mamun. Indeed, he takes the cat out of the bag, literally, in that meeting. Turns around to Mamun and says, oh Mamun. And this is, and the reason why I'm spending time on this is so that the youth can see to what lengths the Imam alayhi salam went to decline this appointment. He says, oh Mamun, my grandfather has told me that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny, has said that I will die before you. Indeed, you will be the one who will poison me. Mamun, in due course, you will oblige me to eat grapes in which they will be poisoned. You will know which will be the poisoned grapes. You will oblige me to eat those earmarked grapes which will cause my death in this very palace. And so, why do you want to appoint me today? When in due course you are going to kill me and this appointment is all nullified and all the ceremony that you wish to make will be all in vain. Can you imagine the conviction, the confidence and the courage of the Imam alayhi salam to confront Mamun and tell him that in exact clear words that you are the one who is going to murder me? I know your plan too well. What is all this appointing me the heir apparent when the plan is that you then poison me before time comes and you proceed with your politics and with your power exactly as you intend to? And on hearing those words, what did you expect Mamun did? Just as what Yazid did in his court, ultimately when he released the Ahlul Bayt. Mamun also sat and wept and said, Yabna Rasulullah, may those words never come true. And it is my promise to you. And you can see immediately after what the promise is, what the value of that promise was. So it is my promise to you that so long as I am alive, not one person will be able to touch you or harm you in any way whatsoever. And the answer of Imam Allah alayhi salam is, Wallahu khayrun hafiza, wa huwa arhamur rahimin. If there is any protector, the best of the protectors is only Allah, and He is the most merciful of the merciful. So you can see that although the Imam alayhi salam told him this in clear words, in other words telling him, Mamun, you are not fooling me one bit. Don't you think you are taking me for a ride? I know exactly what you are doing. But if the instrument of oppression that you are holding enables you to make the threat of death to me, then I will continue to lead my life and propagate Islam as Allah would wish me to, without in any way interfering with you. And so he laid a condition with Mamun, saying that if this appointment is being made to me under threat of death, then I will accept it subject to one condition. And I urge you, Mamun, that you should not object to that condition, and you should allow that condition of mine to be accepted. And Mamun says, yes, Yabna Rasulullah, tell me what your condition is. And it was a condition that Mamun found very convenient. He said, oh Mamun, I will be heir apparent, but on the basis that I will not interfere in the political functioning of the state. I will not interfere with any appointment of any military official. You see, because that might be oppression. And he did not wish to color his hands. These are the hands of a ma'asoo. He says, I will not interfere with any appointment of a general. I will issue no orders to the army, so long as you are alive. I will not dismiss anybody from service, because that indeed would be obligatory on him to dismiss all those tyrants whom Mamun had appointed. I will not interfere in all that. And insofar as the judiciary, that was the army, insofar as the judiciary is concerned, I will not interfere in the appointment of judges, because judges were appointed entirely on the basis of loyalty to Mamun. I will not interfere with the appointment of judges. I will not interfere with any judgments that they pass, nor will I interfere in any adjudication in court, nor participate in any adjudication in court in any matter before any tribunal. Moreover, I will not interfere with the civil service either, not in respect of any appointment of any person, or his dismissal, or his functioning. And Mamun instantly, as you would expect, said, Yabna Rasulullah, I accept all those conditions. You can lay them and they will all be granted. It was clean for Mamun, because he continues to do what he likes and as he likes without interference. And yet he tells the Shias and he tells the Sunnite public who are disgruntled with him that, look, soon you will have this person whom you would like appointed to be my successor. The Imam alayhi salam, on the other hand, was taking precaution in every detail to ensure that on the day of judgment he does not remain answerable to Allah. Indeed, Abu Salih says that as he came out of that meeting, I heard him raise his hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say, "Oh Allah, you are my witness and you are enough to be my witness. I do not need another one, that I accepted this appointment entirely because of the threat to my life, that otherwise I would not have even come out of this meeting and would have been dead. Short of that, I have no ambition for the Khilafah, and short of that, I have no desire to be a Khalif. Indeed, I am grateful to you for the knowledge you have given me that even that is not going to happen. I will never become an heir to this oppressor, Mahmud." But the day came when the appointment is to be made, and now the instrument of appointment had to be drawn out by Mahmud. I just touched on this for a minute or two on Saturday night. And in that instrument of appointment, Mamun sets out various matters. Time does not permit that we discuss that text in detail, but it is a beautiful text worth examining. Indeed, if anything, whatever the Abbasides may have said, whatever Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah say on our doctrines, you will find our doctrines ventilated and vindicated in that text of Mamun. He starts by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and talking of the prophets. He says that the first of them gave the good tidings of the coming of the last one. Indeed, Hazrat Adam alayhi salam did give good tidings of the coming of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his progeny. And the last one confirmed the appointment of the first one. And then talks of the Holy Prophets, and then comes to the time after the Holy Prophet. And he says, Allah chose Khilafah to be the method by which the Ummah would be guided, and and by the system by which the rule of Islam will continue. That is exactly what we are saying. That it is a system that Allah appointed, and it is a system which Allah not only decided for mankind, but it is a system that Allah was to conduct and to nominate. A system brought about by Allah could not have functioned without an appointee from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That system of prophethood, as you know, was indeed initiated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he sent one prophet after another. Each one of them claimed that he was appointee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Mamun accepted that in his letter, in the text of this instrument, and indeed accepted that Khilafah also was on the initiation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then goes on to say that since that Khilafah has come to me, without saying how, it only came by power, it only came in an illegitimate way, my bloodshed, indeed, in his case, my killing his own brothers, and eliminating the progeny of his father, saved through him. So he says, when it comes to me, I have now been overtaken by events, the responsibilities have become great, and I decided that I should choose a successor who will be able to take over from me. And then says, and puts in writing, and that letter is extant in Sunnite sources as well. He says, I have looked for an appointee from the family of Abdullah bin Abbas and of Ali ibn Abi Talib, and having looked around and appointed people to examine all these learned people and to give me a name, I have received only one name. The verdict, as he puts it, the verdict is unanimous that the only person suitable for this appointment is Ar-Ridha ibn al-Kadhim salawatullahi wa salamu alayhima. I wish to pause here to take you back to Sunday night and Monday night. Indeed, commencing from Saturday night, all those three nights, our aim of the discussion was not only to learn from the Imam alayhi salam his various teachings that we went through, and his various teachings on conduct that we examined, but also to see that each one of them established the authenticity of his imamah, which is the subject of concern today. The authenticity of his imamah, that he actually was the true imam. Otherwise, we are being told today, yes, very learned man, a very great scholar and very nice man, but why do we have to regard him as an imam? Because the mainstream don't regard him as an imam. Indeed, I was at pains on Saturday to say that it is fundamental in order that we are saved from the fire of hell to accept him as an imam, one whose commands are commands from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and subject to obedience. And you can now see that all those qualifications that are required of an imam are set out in this text of Ma'mun, stating that they are only to be found at that time in the personality of Imam Rida alayhi salam. He talks of his celebrated knowledge, in other words, very well known knowledge of Imam Rida alayhi salam, beyond question at the time. He talks of his unequaled piety. This is exactly what the qualification should be. And his excellent manners, indeed, becoming to those that the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, exhibited. The Imam alayhi salam was asked immediately to put his response to it. And the Imam alayhi salam had no desire to take another piece of paper. He took that instrument of appointment, turned it round, and on the reverse of it, wrote out his response. And in the first line of his response says that it is that I thank Allah and I praise Allah that the Khalif today is one of those who know what our actual rights from Allah are. So he made it very abundant that the right to Khilafah from Allah was his own. And he said this in the open court of Ma'mun at the time when he was being appointed heir apparent. And he said he knows what our true entitlement is. What right has he got? Or what right did his father have to be the Khalif of the Muslims? And having said that, he proceeds to say that as this appointment has been made for me, I wish to state to the Ummah very clearly, in other words, don't think that I will be a Khalif who will be a henchman of the people or of the Jabr. He says, I undertake to this Ummah the covenant that I've made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the terms of the covenant that I've made with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if I become a Khalif, there will be no partisanship on my part. There will be no blood on my hands. No illegal blood will be shed. Indeed, no person will be executed save through due process of law in accordance with Sharia. No person will be oppressed and tyranny will be entirely eliminated and destroyed. These were sanctions. One is reminded of the khutbah of Bibi Zainab alayhi salam in the court of Yasin when one sees this letter, this response of Imam Rida alayhi salam to Ma'mun in terse terms. However, that's done. The second court is now held, the court in which bay'ah is made of Imam Rida alayhi salam. That was on the sixth day of the holy month of Ramadan. And Ma'mun, first of all, asked his own son Abbas to come forward and make the bay'ah of Imam Rida alayhi salam. So he was the first person who made bay'ah. And then each one of them came and made bay'ah, including Fazl bin Sahal and Hassan bin Sahal. They all came and made bay'ah of Imam Rida alayhi salam. Very reminiscent of the bay'ah that the Kufians made at the hands of Muslim ibn Aqil to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Reminiscent of the bay'ah made by Talha and Zubair to Imam Ali alayhi salam in the mosque of Medina. However, that bay'ah was made and people were rejoicing that celebrations are taking place. People were rejoicing because flags were flying and money was passing. Ma'mun gave money out to his henchmen. In that court, there was one person sitting close to Imam Rida alayhi salam, who was one of his companions. And he was elated. He was overjoyed that Mawla is now accepted publicly and people are making his bayah. And when the Imam alayhi salam saw him overjoyed, he beckons him to close to him. And when he comes close to him, he says, "Why are you appearing so elated? Don't. All this is fake. All this is not real at all. And soon you will find that it is only a game that is being played. And soon you will find the unreality of all this mechanism of Ma'mun. None will come true. He will poison me before the day of my assumption of office will arrive." And tells him to go back to his seat. And the follower of the Imam alayhi salam immediately becomes saddened and becomes restored to his ordinary state, knowing that all this is but a farce. But Ma'mun conducted the farce fully. During the term that the Imam alayhi salam had, various events took place. The Imam alayhi salam, of course, always refused to take part in political functions, did not even attend the court of Ma'mun when politics was discussed. He was only present when religious discussions were to take place. And in those discussions, alas that we do not have the time to discuss those in detail, but those discussions covered wide ground. Quran was discussed again and again. Ayats, verses of Quran being put to him by the ulama of the time, the ulama of Ahlul Sunnah. And indeed, the Imam alayhi salam then obtained an excellent opportunity in public, in the court of the enemy, to set out the true interpretations of those ayats of Quran. In Sunnah books, there are at least 24 verses which were put to him in those meetings and to which he gave his own tafsir. And those tafsir are in our books. Uyun, Akbarul Riva of Sheikh Sadduq alayhi rahmah, sets them out in detail. Indeed, Sunnah sources also set them out. Fusul al-Muhimma of Ibn Sabbah, Al-Maliki sets them out too. Shiblinji sets them out. Indeed, both of them set out even the hadith I cited in the first night, that hadith of the Imam alayhi salam in Nishapur, in which he says, "Kalimatu la ilaha illallah hisni, wa man taqira hisni, amina min azabi." He who enters my fortress is protected from all hellfire. Indeed, it is Imam Rida alayhi salam. Now that I've come back to that hadith, it is indeed Imam Rida alayhi salam who has given us a hadith specially from him, exactly in those terms. He says, "Wilayatu Ali ibn Abi Talib," and from and in the same basis silsilatu Dhahab, he said when he narrated this hadith, that "I have heard it from my father, who told me that he heard it from his father As-Sadiq, who said that he heard from his father Al-Baqir, who said he heard it from his father As-Sajjad, who said he heard from his father Al-Husayn, who heard it from his father Ali ibn Abi Talib, who says he heard it from the Holy Prophet, who said that he heard it from Jibreel, and Jibreel says Allah Ta'ala sent him down to say this to the Holy Prophet, that wilayah to Ali ibn Abi Talib hisni. The wilayah of Ali ibn Abi Talib is my fortress. Wa man dakhala hisni amina min azabi. And whoever enters that fortress of mine will be saved from my punishment. But numerous ahadith flowed explaining the Christians why they are wrong, explaining the Yahudis why they are wrong, and reminding them of that ayah of Quran which says, وَقَالَ الْيَهُودُ عُزَيْرِ بْنُ اللَّهِ وَقَالَ الْمَسِيحِ عِيسَى بْنُ اللَّهِ الْمَسِيحِ عِبْنُ اللَّهِ, that the Yahud said that Uzair was the son of God, and the Christians said Masih is the son of God. And how he went to show that neither of them was the son of God, because Allah truly was one who was lam yalid wa lam yulad. deep discussions took place, and Mamun always called the Imam alayhi salam for these discussions. Those were the discussions only that he held. Otherwise he remained in his cottage where he met the poor people, where he met those who truly wanted knowledge and disseminated knowledge to them, and indeed helped them in all respects, the sick and the oppressed, just as he does today. Just as he does today from his shrine in Mashhad. These events that take place in Mashhad today are but proof that he did so, and did so eminently in his lifetime. But one event, and the last event that I put forward to you before we conclude tonight's function, then I only have his martyrdom to deal with tomorrow before we start off with Imam Jawad alayhi salam, inshallah. The only event I wish to put to you is that on one occasion, Mamun decided it is the day of Eid. Let the Imam alayhi salam lead the Eid prayers. And he sent a message to him to do so. The Imam alayhi salam declined, saying, I have made a condition with you that I will not partake in any of these public functions. This is indeed a public function at which Eid prayers are going to be held, and a khutbah has to be recited, and that khutbah can have political intonation. Hence, spare me from this function. But Mamun insisted, saying, let the people have a taste of the leading of Eid prayers by a grandson of the Prophet. And so the Imam alayhi salam became happy to, became satisfied, to not happy but satisfied to go and lead the prayers. And when the sun rose, he made his ghusl and was prepared to come out barefooted in his white gown, ready to go and lead the prayers. And the time came when he asked his entourage to be ready with him to move out. Indeed, according to the custom of the time, the generals were ready, all on their horsebacks, and in their full uniforms, to salute the Imam alayhi salam and partake in the Eid prayers. This was the custom during the time when the Khalif led prayers. But those generals aside, the people came out in huge throngs the moment they knew that Ibn Rasulullah is going to conduct the prayers. The throngs that filled the streets shattered the palace of Mamun. However, he was prepared to take that. Women went to the rooftops to see what happened. But when the Imam alayhi salam left his house, and as he left his house, he started the takbir of Eid. And when he made the first takbir, Allahu Akbar, people could see that not only were the people responding to that Allahu Akbar, because as you know, in the takbir of Eid, when the Imam says Allahu Akbar, the congregation also responds saying Allahu Akbar. That takbir is in consonance. Both the Imam and the Mamun both recite the takbir. So and the Imam started the takbir in the streets before he was reaching the mosque. But when that takbir was recited and he said Allahu Akbar, the people could see that the reply not came only from themselves, but the reply also came from the walls that were surrounding those streets. From the walls were the voices heard Allahu Akbar. More than that, they could hear voices from the heavens, from the sky, and they could hear Allahu Akbar coming from the skies. They realized that these are angels responding to Ibn Rasulullah. You can see the quality of the asceticism of Imam Rida alayhi salam. You can see the quality of that isma that said Allahu Akbar with that degree of sincerity and truthfulness which that particular ism of Allah deserves. And when he said the second Allahu Akbar, and the because there are three Allahu Akbar to start with, when he said the second Allahu Akbar, the resonance that came out, Sahab bin Sahab reached the court of Mamun and said, Mamun, don't you hear what is going on? This lunchtime will not come and you will have been toppled by these very people who are saying their prayers. So Mamun says, I've already issued the order. How do I resolve it? Says, ask him to go back to his house and ask the Chief Justice to go and lead the prayers. Don't even go to lead the prayers yourself. Ask the Chief Justice to do so. And in due course, just as the third takbir was to start, the Imam alayhi salam receives a message that Mamun says He is sorry he has troubled you so much, and indeed requests that you can rest in your house once again. And the Imam alayhi salam turned back and came back. But the people got some taste of what happened. For once, shall I say, that we are grateful to Mamun for doing this for us? Because it provides us today a true picture of what will happen when Imam Zamana Ajjalallahu Farajahu will be with us. He will lead that Salatul Eid in that spirit. And at that time it will be wajib salah. We will all gather, inshaAllah, with him for that salah, to recite that salah behind him, and we will hear that Allahu Akbar from him, hoping that we will also hear the same resonance from the heavens as the people of Marwa heard when Imam Rawa alayhi salam was reciting his takbir. But this is how Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam function, calling people to the right path and ensuring that they remain in the right path, but so much so, not only remaining on the right path, so much so that they attain ultimate salvation. We saw yesterday how Habib ibn Mawahir was called over by the Imam alayhi salam. Can we today discuss how Zuhair ibn Ayn was called over? Zuhair never wanted to join the Imam alayhi salam. He came out from Makkah just as the Imam did. The Imam came out first because the Imam left by the 8th. Zuhair came after completing his Hajj. But on the way he saw the caravan of the Imam. Zuhair always maintained a distance. He maintained a distance saying, I do not want to mix up with Hussein. He can have his quarrels with Yazid. They can sort their quarrels out themselves. I am not a party to it. That khutbah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam in Mina. We do not have the time to discuss it now, but we did discuss it in the year 2000. In the year 2001, we discussed that particular hadith only to remind you of one sentence in which Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, he who does not join and support the oppressed and remains on the sideline is in effect supporting the oppressor. He is in the camp of the oppressor. Zuhair bin Qayn kept away from the Imam alayhi salam, but a stage was reached in that journey when they became parallel. The Imam alayhi salam instantly ordered that his tents be lowered, and we spent the night there. Zuhair became obliged also to camp there because he was in no position to precede the Imam alayhi salam. But he kept his tents just a few yards behind. The Imam alayhi salam sent a word to Zuhair saying, Zuhair, come over to see me. When the word was sent, Zuhair was reluctant to go. The wife turns around, reminiscent of the wife of Habib ibn Mubahir, turns around and says, Zuhair, the grandson of the Prophet is calling you, and you dare disobey like this? You may not accept his request, but at least go and listen to it. Maybe it's a request you will be able to accept. Soon, having met the Imam alayhi salam, Zuhair comes back and says, I have decided to join Hussein. The wife said, didn't I tell you, go to see him? He says, I give you a divorce. So she says, you're giving me a divorce when I am the person who encouraged you to go and see Hussein. And so I'm saying this because the Imam alayhi salam has told me what will happen, and I do not want that to happen to you. Did the Imam alayhi salam tell him, who knows, that Zainab will be taken prisoner, that she too will lose a veil, and Zainab also will have ropes tied round her arms. But Zuhair judged the Imam alayhi salam. Indeed, having joined the Imam alayhi salam, he was the first to make a speech when they're near Karbala. He was the one who made a speech to the army of Hur, saying, do you know who you are fighting? Do you know what you are doing? You are taking the Imam alayhi salam away from his path. Indeed, on the day of Ashura, after the Rajz, the first Rajz of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, he was the one who indeed gave a speech for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. A time came and gone when Abu Tamama says, Ya Rasulullah, it is time for prayers. And Imam Hussain alayhi salam says, truly so, Zakartuka Salah, Ja'alaka Allahu min al-Musallim. And Imam alayhi salam says, errors that flow. Salah cannot be helped. And he led the prayers. But when the arrows were coming, he would easily have been assassinated then. On one side stood Sa'id, on the other side stood Zuhair ibn Qayyim. When an arrow came, Zuhair took that arrow so that it didn't reach the Imam alayhi salam. You can see the extent to which Zuhair made his sacrifices. Yet Sa'id immediately after the Namaz al-Khutbah fell and was dead after the arrows he had taken. Zuhair was still alive. He went into the army and gave them another. He was an orator and gave them another speech saying, I have taken all these arrows. They mean nothing to me until I die. And reached the Holy Prophet in heaven straight away. For he is the grandson of the Holy Prophet and salvation is in his hands. But the people did not change. They kept attacking Zuhair until the time came when Zuhair turned round and made the last salam to the Imam. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. The Imam goes to the body of Zuhair and says, Zuhair, I have specially invited you to join me and you have now left me even before my turn comes to meet the Lord. Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawm al-zalimeen. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. رحم الله من المحيي والمميت.